We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in upstate. It is a Wednesday hump day edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Diesel and I live in the studio. And, you know, so many times in the past I've been told, save it for the air. That's kind of what's going on today with Diesel and I. I mean, he came in today, got right to work on some other stuff. So he's back there working fast and furiously as he likes to get things set up. But we're gonna have some fun today. A lot of different things to get into, including off the bat, some news coming up for Spartanburg. Also, at the top of the 5 p.m. hour, speaking of Spartanburg County, if you will, Cole Bryson will join us. He's the new voice of Burns football as well, has covered athletics there in Spartanburg for a long time because, number one, he covered Zion Williamson and, of course, Zion. The whole Zion effect taking place here today and leading up to tomorrow night because, yes, tomorrow night is the NBA draft. And, of course, Zion Williamson expected to be the first pick overall. So we'll talk with Cole about that. Also, at the top of the 6 p.m. hour, we're going out to Houston, Texas. It's our friend Sam Kahn Jr. from ESPN.com, covers Texas A&M and Texas athletics as a whole. Jimbo Fisher speaking tonight at a Texas A&M alumni event. So we'll catch up with Sam Kahn Jr. Later on today, good friend of ours, because week number two of the college football season, some people are saying that Texas A&M visit to Clemson may be the toughest thing on the schedule when it comes to the Tigers. Listen, that's awfully short-sighted at this point. It's a long season, no doubt about it. So other things that we're going to get into today, the state of South Carolina when it comes to college basketball, because you're going to find out something that will shock you, or maybe not. You already know it. NBA. You can't have an NBA draft tomorrow night without talking some of the all-time draft busts, you know, especially at number one, or some great college players that maybe did not transition over to the NBA, but, you know, were not necessarily drafted at one or two, a couple of them. And, of course, maybe we'll have a high horse moment today, Diesel, because we say this all the time. We laughingly call ourselves rednecks, you know. But the great part about it is we can shun it. You call somebody from Colorado a redneck, they're going to get upset. You call somebody from up north a redneck, they're going to get upset. But guess what? It doesn't matter where you go in this country, in this world, you're going to deal with rednecks at some point.
No, there's rednecks everywhere. Indiana's full of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we have a story that, quite frankly, some parents, A, need to be arrested, and B, need to be publicly shamed. Maybe that's a way we go about some things now, Diesel. If you take something that's so far out of the ordinary, public shaming, you know what I mean? Is that a way to maybe control some of this?
Did they feed meth to a squirrel?
Now, that's going to go down as one of the – I had two people on the way home going, where in the world did you come up with that meth to a squirrel story? Just ended up on my Twitter feed. But, yeah, we'll talk about this, and we'll publicly shame some people. When it comes to college football, we'll talk about the top 10 Heisman favorites and – last chance you. We have some news on that, Diesel, as well. But earlier today, out in Omaha, Louisville eliminates Auburn University 5-3 at the College World Series. Currently going on right now is a winner's bracket game that was rained out, postponed till tonight from last night. It's Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. Vanderbilt has a 1-0 lead on the Bulldogs on a solo home run. But the story there, Diesel, is Whistler guy. Whistler guy. Apparently, that's one of the storylines that, like, Teddy Cahill and some of the people I follow college baseball-wise. Vanderbilt has a fan that could be ejected from the ballpark today for whistling. And the guy never stops. And it's obnoxious. And it's become a calling card for this guy. His name is Preacher Franklin. And he says he's not going to stop. Well, it turns out the other day during Vanderbilt's loss or win, he was warned multiple times, don't do it anymore. Don't do it. So this one fan, they have told, they made a comment before the game that says, we are, as a building policy, reactive when we get a slew of negative comments or complaints, both online and in person. Then we are obligated to follow our building policy, which is that we give one warning when we are able to address the disruptive behavior. After that, we examine whether we take further action. In a crowd of 15,000 to 16,000 people, maybe not that many today, can one guy be that disruptive that he gets hot? That's one of the storylines going on, because I think you can. I think you can be around somebody that's just that irritating if there's that many complaints and they come up and warn him, or her, for that matter. You go. The majority rules. Is that a fair way of looking at it? I mean, this is still somewhat a democracy going on in this country. Should the majority not rule when it comes to you're driving my ass crazy in TD Ameritrade Park? So we'll keep you up to date on the Vandy Whistler situation. All right, Braves came down to earth last night. Listen, nobody was hitting New York's pitcher last night, but, man, it was 9-0 at one point when I fell asleep. So all I know is tip your cap to the New York Mets. They make up the game that the Braves had taken the night before, 12-3. So those type of games kind of end up evening out before all is said and done. And then Diesel, this is a name that we mention fairly frequently on this show. To me, it's the biggest what if in NBA history. You can even call it, as we're going to move into later on, NBA draft bust, maybe one of the biggest draft busts in NBA history. But for different reasons than injuries or not performing or things of that nature. Today in 1986, Len Bias passed away after returning from Boston, Massachusetts, and being introduced as the number two overall pick in the NBA draft. Of course, a little partying went on, and his heart basically exploded, and that's why Sports Illustrated, you can actually go see the cover. I posted it on our ESPN Upstate Facebook page. Reads, "Death of a Dream."
Not to be disrespectful to Len, but does that make him the biggest draft bust?
It could be. I mean,
because
he
was so highly sought after. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought he was going to be a star, and then he made a poor decision. You know, it's unfortunate, because how many people make poor decisions over and over and over again for their entire lives when it comes to drug abuse, and they're fine. Lynn did it, as far as we know, one time, and it killed him. But still, he should have known better, and it cost him in a big way.
You would have to throw him in that realm. You know, never saw the court in the NBA, despite being drafted number two. Now, again, it was a different reasoning, but that's something we'll get into here in a bit. We mentioned a lot going on for Spartanburg. You know that they're going to get a ton of coverage, a ton of mentions here leading up to the NBA draft, during the NBA draft, when Zion gets taken number one overall. But not all the news going on in Spartanburg. Our friend Daniel Feig, the USC Upstate Athletic Director, pulled a hell of a coup. You know, that's what athletic directors are more judged on than as much as anything else, Diesel. It's who they hire, you know, and how they vet it. Listen, Upstate was looking for a new baseball coach. They go up and get Mike McGuire from Morehead State University, who had been a head coach at Morehead State for 7 seasons. All right, 7 seasons as a D1 head coach, rebuilt that program, was roughly 50 games over 500 during his time at Morehead State. He's a former South Carolina grad, and he has ties to this area, not to mention South Carolina. Coach McGuire started his coaching at Winthrop College as an assistant, moved on to Lander, and then a shortstop at Lewisburg College in North Carolina before Morehead State. So he's got a ton of ties to this area. And again, you're talking about during the past 5 seasons, Mike McGuire had led the Eagles after he rebuilt them to 183 win, which ranks in the top 40 nationally in this country. So that's a heck of a move for Upstate in the Spartans program, getting that type of coach and, of course, having roots to the area, wanting to come back. I mean, congratulations to Daniel Feig and the in Upstate, because listen, that's a great hire, and we saw the work that Coach Dickerson did this year in turning around that basketball program, getting them some wins as they move into a new conference. So Daniel Feig doing a great job there at Upstate, and that's a heck of a hire. But we got more information when we come back in Spartanburg, because we can let you know the dates that we're going to be at Panthers training camp, Diesel. It all came down today. You know, a lot of people are speculating. This is the final year of training camp in Spartanburg. I think it really depends on how quickly that facility is built in York County for the Carolina Panthers. They may get one more year in if weather and delays and things of that nature, but ultimately they will move training camp back up there to the Charlotte area to the football facility. So, Spartanburg. We'll let you know when the Panthers are coming back, and some other news for the last year of training camp as well. 844-GSP-ESPN. But we'll go ahead and open up the phone lines. So listen, was Len Bias the biggest bust of all time? He died today in 1986 due to a cocaine overdose. Other NBA basketball draft bust, we'll talk about that as well. 844-GSP-ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So the announcement comes down earlier today. The Carolina Panthers 2019 training camp schedule, and they will be making their debut at Wofford College on Thursday, July 25th. Of course, a huge kickoff party at Gibbs Stadium beginning at 4 p.m. and then practice from 6:30 to 8:30. So we will be over there on campus at Wofford College, is, of course, Classic Rock 101.1 FM is a Panthers affiliate, but they will be practicing there at Gibbs Stadium in the practice fields at Wofford Thursday, July 25th, Friday the 26th, Saturday the 27th, the 28th on Sunday, 29th Monday, Tuesday the 30th, leading up to Fan Fest on August 2nd. That's a Friday, and that will be at Bank of America Stadium. They will come back for the rest of the week before they leave on Wednesday, August 7th, to go take on Chicago in their first preseason game. They will come back for 4 more practices before the Buffalo Bills come in for a joint practice on Tuesday, August 13th, and then the final day of training camp on Wednesday, August 14th. So, as a matter of fact, Diesel, I think we are going to have a couple of people from Buffalo down here in the area for a couple of days. So, maybe sharing some airtime with the Bills. And you know, it makes our guy from Buffalo, head of engineering, all happy that the Bills are going to be here in the Upstate. So, you know, I like the fact that training camp is there. I think the one thing they miss in the long run, Diesel, by moving it back up to the football operation, is that sense of bonding as a team a little bit, you know, in the dorms. And some of my favorite pictures are seeing these multimillionaires walk in with everything they've got to go live in a dorm room for a few weeks like they're back in college, you know what I mean? And a lot of them take it with a they have fun with it. So we'll see how that works out, but it will be nice to see them back here in the upstate one last time, maybe twice before all said and done. All right, so again, Spartanburg's getting ready to get a lot of attention between Panthers training camp, of course, the NBA draft tomorrow night, Diesel. But stop and think of the state of college basketball here in South Carolina right now. I know you're a much bigger football guy, but you work on basketball. The storyline of the state, the Palmetto State, this past year in college basketball had nothing, zilch, zero to do with our two major schools in Clemson and South Carolina. South Carolina, while they have a pretty good year in conference, not good enough to make the NCAA tournament, not good enough to make the NIT. Clemson was, what, number 15 or number 16 in the country, depending on what poll you looked at, with all they had coming back with Elijah Thomas and Shelton Mitchell and everybody concerned. And they were a major disappointment as they lose in the second round of the NIT at home to Wichita State. So stop and look at that. The story of the year in college basketball, in my opinion, and bring it to me if I'm different, it's Wofford. It was Wofford going undefeated through the Southern Conference in regular season, then going on and winning their conference tournament, getting a win in the NCAA tournament, and scaring the bazinga out of Kentucky there in the second round before falling. So what would you give me, not an A, B, C, D, E grade, give me an adjective when it comes to college basketball last year here in the Palmetto State, because Furman made a good run as well. They brought some good attention. So how do you think last year shakes out grade-wise, adjective-wise, when it comes to college basketball here in the state of South Carolina?
Slightly stinky.
Little bit of a mess to it. Anytime you can work in the stank, you know what I mean, and get that little verbal harpoon in there at Georgia Southern University, we know you like to do that. Stop and think about this, all right? Little old South Carolina, we say two biggest sports here are college football and college baseball. When more than likely, when the commissioner of the NBA walks out to the podium tomorrow night, the first two names he's going to call in the NBA draft are going to be from right here in the Palmetto State. Obviously, number one's going to be Zion Williamson. Spartanburg Day School, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 1 year at Duke University. Number two is likely to be Ja Morant. Dalzell, South Carolina. 2 years at Murray State University in Kentucky. Of course, South Carolina got in on him really, really late, but he had already kind of formed that bond with Murray State. Clemson isn't even in on him at all, even though he was an AAU teammate of Zion Williamson. How can we sit here and justify the mediocrity? Now, Frank Martin made a hell of a run to the Final Four a few years ago with Sindarius Thornwell and those guys. But here we are tonight, little old South Carolina, an afterthought in basketball, especially at the college level. It feels like a lot of the time, top two draft picks coming from this here state alone. Then you go look at it. What, the five-star guard from Porter Gallard High School, he's going to Tennessee. At what point do we hold our local coaches accountable for giving a product that local products want to go play for? Is that fair? Or is it this day and age, it's a whole different ballgame due to the internet, due to the fact that regionalism minus college football seems to be a little bit out the door. And then you go look at Clemson's recruiting class this year in football. It's from, what, 13 or 14 different states, including California. So can we hold these coaches accountable in this day and age? Because I just feel like with that kind of talent coming out and leaving the state, at some point we got to hold our local coaches accountable. I mean, listen, South Carolina and Frank Martin are bringing in a new class of seven recruits. Two of them are transfers. One is a transfer from Tennessee Tech with some upside. He averaged 9 points a game last year. Still nothing major. And then Seventh Woods, a North Carolina Tar Heel transfer that's originally from South Carolina, that averaged 2 points a game. Didn't even play in every game for the Tar Heels. Now, they're hoping somebody was trying to get him eligible. I think from what I hear from my buddies in Columbia, they are actually hoping that he's going to be able to sit out this year and maybe gain a little. But just because he's coming from North Carolina doesn't make him this really great basketball player. There's a lot of upside if he turns into one because he's originally from the Palmetto State. But you're getting him as a cast-off. So the reality is, should we have higher expectations for our local basketball teams? Because tell you what, Furman, Wofford, those guys are managing to get it done, but it's been fairly stagnant. Now, we've had a Sweet 16 run by Clemson 2 years ago. Of course, that great run for Frank Martin in the Final Four out in Arizona a few years ago. But as a whole, it feels like it's pretty stanky, as Diesel just mentioned. Other things that are problems. How many times on this show, Diesel, do we admit that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, especially when it comes to sports? You know, the transfer portal took, what, 1 year for it to get out of hand? After everybody wanted transfers, now we're having to see guys sign scholarships. And I'm not knocking FCS football, but when their only options dried up and they needed a place to go, they're having to settle with FCS scholarships now, giving up a D1 because it's a numbers game to a certain extent as well. Well, we're now seeing it in college basketball. We saw what LiAngelo Ball announced he's going to play over in the Australian Pro League and work to be the number one the number one draft pick next year. You know, we saw the guy a couple of weeks ago say, you know what, I'm going to go play in New Zealand for a year and go work on my game and get some money. Well, guess what? We're now starting to see the ball roll. Top 70 recruit in Arizona Wildcat signee Terry Armstrong announced earlier today he's going to bypass college for either the NBA G League or to go overseas and play 1 year basketball to get himself eligible. So once somebody kind of dipped that toe in the water, you know what I mean, and said, forget this. I can go play 1 year overseas and get paid for it. And now that move's been made a couple of times. It's going to be interesting to see how many follow suit here. Again, Arizona signee, not commit, Arizona signee, Terry Armstrong decides to bypass college for 1 year and sign with either the G League or overseas. So the one good thing about it is Diesel, ESPN signs Dick Vitale through the 2021-2022 season, and he's currently 80 years old. So if you like Dick Vitale, and again, he's kind of like licorice, you either love him or you hate him, you get him through the 2021-2022 basketball season with ESPN. Then finally, maybe if he will just go away, but it's going to be good for his son, I think, moving out of the spotlight from Los Angeles to New Orleans. But I don't know if you caught this one, Diesel. You've been working your butt off since you got here today. ESPN just announced no more LeVar Ball appearances on any of the ESPN platforms. You know, he made a sexually suggestive comment to one of the ESPN hosts the other day, and she handled it like a champ and just kind of, filtered right through it. But ESPN, that's one way to get this guy quiet. Quit giving him a microphone in which to say this outrageous stuff. And as of earlier today, it sounds like ESPN is done with LeVar Ball. And you know what? One of the best things that's going to happen to his son is to go grow up a little bit without the spotlight and maybe the ability to tell your dad to shut up. All right, when we come back, all-time draft bust. I mean, you got to look at it. the number one pick in the draft. We have seen some major league bust. We've seen other NBA draft busts. We've seen good college players that we thought, maybe they have a shot, just didn't work out. Give us your opinion. Who are the all-time draft bust in the NBA? Because somebody's going to be a big bust tomorrow night. And the other thing is you just don't see it coming most of the time. Some of the names that we have on the list, absolutely amazing. You thought they'd go on to be a great player? Didn't happen for a variety of reasons. And yes, you can include one of my favorites, Lynn Bias, in there because he never saw the court due to a bad decision. A couple of lines of cocaine, that happened early this morning in 1986. And of course, he passed away about 10 hours later. So 844-GSP, ESPN, bring it to us straight up. Don't forget, we'll talk some Zion with Cole Bryson, our new ESPN Upstate edition at the top of the 5 p.m. hour.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So, Diesel, nobody likes it, but you know what? You can't deny it. Every time a draft comes up, there's a bust. And the thing is, are you really a bust if you sign a multi-million dollar contract? I mean, maybe you don't live up to expectations, but are you really a bust? Because you go back and look at some number one overall draft picks in the NBA. One here within the last 6 years, he's a bust, and it's Anthony Bennett. When Cleveland took him number one overall in 2013, and he goes on to do nothing. So number one draft picks in the NBA don't actually mean anything. You've seen a lot of busts go down from the number one draft pick. We'd love to hear yours at 844-GSP. ESPN. You can hit us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate or on the text line at 71307. Just start your message with ESPN. Kwame Brown might be the quintessential because I don't know. Listen, he was brought a lot of undue attention back in 2001 when he came out of high school, basically in the Brunswick, Georgia area, Glenn Academy down there, roughly 7 feet. He leaps right from high school to the NBA. Then he goes on to put in 11 years in the NBA. Kwame Brown, I did not realize this until I did my research. Even though we call him one of the biggest bust ever, he goes on and spends 12 years in the NBA, averages 6.6 points and five and a half rebounds per game. Played with the Washington Wizards, the LA Lakers, the Memphis Grizzlies, Detroit Pistons, Charlotte Hornets, Golden State Warriors, and Philadelphia 76ers. So, yeah, he didn't live up to number one overall expectations, but Jesus, he got 12 years worth of NBA paychecks. The only thing is now he's been busted. I mean, you can call him being busted as a number one overall draft pick. He can't stay out of jail down in coastal Georgia. So, I don't know. That's not living up to expectations, but 12 years of NBA paychecks, is that necessarily a bust or not? Jimmy, you answer that before we get your opinion. If you do get 12 years of NBA paychecks, is that necessarily a bust?
Not really, but initially he was the one I was going to mention because they were expecting him to be a superstar for the Washington Wizards, but I guess Sam Bowie would be the right. I would say he was the biggest bust because I think that was the same year that Michael Jordan came in, I think.
Let's see. Sam Bowie taken number two. He was selected before mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and John Stockton. Now, he went behind Hakeem Olajuwon, but, yeah, you mm-hmm. know, he had that compound fracture in his leg, and he never was the same after that. And, you know, they even made a, what, 90-minute SEC story out of Sam Bowie about, you mm-hmm. know, how do you deal with this? And to his credit, he's dealt with it really well.
Yeah. So can I throw in one other thing? Y'all were talking about Seventh Woods earlier. I'm a Gamecocks fan, as you know, and he was on my wish list when he came out of high school. I think he was a 4 or 5 star. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that he was a talent coming out of high school. The Tar Heels wouldn't have signed him. So hopefully he's just needing some home cooking, mm-hmm. and Frank Martin can bring out the best in him. And plus, he had to share the ball with a lot of star players at North Carolina.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, there's upside to bringing Seventh Woods in, Jimmy, no doubt about it. But a couple of people that were just like bragging, we got Seventh Woods, we got Seventh Woods. I went, yep, and there is upside to it. But it's not like he set it on fire, and you are right. He had, once Coby White came in, and you'll see Coby White go tomorrow night somewhere in the top 6 or 7 picks, his court time went down. So, yes, there is a lot of upside to Seventh Woods transferring, and I think the plan is for Frank Martin and the staff, they don't want immediate eligibility. I think you're right. Being a little bit around mama's cooking, getting back around the family, not having all those expectations piled on you, there's a lot of upside for his final year at the University of South Carolina if he gets it all together. So we shall see. All right, so other number one overall draft pick bust. I mean, we've talked two right now. Anthony Bennett, Cleveland Cavaliers, 2013. Kwame Brown, Washington Wizards, 2001. And remember, that was sort of the first pick that Michael Jordan ever made. So he was Kwame Brown was Michael Jordan's darling. He had that attached to him. Now, for a couple other different reasons, think about going back to 1998. How about Michael Olakundandy? I remember he played basketball college-wise out there on the West Coast. He was a victim to a certain extent of the same thing that we just talked about with Sam Bowie when he came out of the University of Kentucky. Same thing with a draft pick back in 2007. Number one overall, Greg Oden. Olakunde went to the L.A. Clippers in 98. Greg Oden went to the Portland Trail Blazers in 2007. Both of them. Injuries derailed their career. So, you know, again, I never really thought about it until Diesel hit me with that question. When we were talking about Len Bias, you know, today's the day that he passed, 1986. Does he maybe go down as the ultimate draft bust? Because he never got to see the floor based off one bad decision on one night. And I don't want to think of it that way because he was a legend. But you know what? You're a bust if we never know what your expectations are. So when we come back, give us your opinion at 844-GSP-ESPN. How about some recent college players that were multi-successful that just didn't transfer to the NBA game? One doesn't mean necessarily success in the other, and we'd like your opinion. 844-GSP-ESPN. You can also hit us up on the text line, 71307. Give us a follow on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio, as well as at Sturgis Sports. Light them up. We'll come right back. Talking draft bust, texter gets in from the 765, says Greg Oden bust. Also, Drew gets in with us on Twitter Here's an interesting one. Darko Milicic, Greg Oden, and Rafael Araujo. I'll have to give you that one because I don't even know who that is. That had to be a bust. Sorry, get back in with this caller. Drew, just get right back in. We'll come to you. We're asking who are the biggest bust ever. And, of course, 844-GSP-ESPN. Some of the some college basketball players that have had a lot of success that haven't transferred over to the NBA level. Yeah, one less than a decade ago, Diesel, do you remember all the attention that was brought to North Carolina Tar Heel player Tyler Hansbrough? One of the hardest working players in college. I mean, dude, he'd come out of a game looking like he, you know, Rocky. You know, he had taken battle in a Rocky movie, you know, bleeding, missing a tooth, things of that nature. He was taken number 13 overall back in 2009 after winning the Wooden Award and the Naismith Award and actually was named AP Player of the Year. But he only lasted, again, that's real easy for me as a 5'9 sports talk show host, Diesel. Let's quantify this, all right? I would never look at these guys in the eye at the bar and go, you're a bust. The fact that they put themselves in this position makes them remarkable to me. But this is what we do on Sports Talk. We debate things. But Tyler Hansbrough ended up putting in seven seasons in the NBA, averaging 6.7 points per game, 4.2 rebounds per game, in nearly 17 minutes a game. He is currently playing in China. A couple of years before him, do you remember the Stash? You like to call him the Stank or bring the stink up to it, Diesel, but the Stash, do you remember who I'm referring to? Back in 2006, drafted number three overall by the, I think it was the Bobcats at that time, but of course now the Charlotte Hornets franchise. How about Adam Morrison from Gonzaga? Drafted number three overall back in 2006 after he averaged 28.1 points per game in his junior season. I mean, Adam Morrison was considered one of the best shooters in college basketball in a long, long time. The way that he had his little cheesy mustache and wavy hair and his socks, a lot of people said that he might have been the second coming of Pistol Pete Maravich. I mean, dude could hit it about a 45% clip from three-point range, but it just didn't translate to the NBA. His rookie year was his best. He averaged 11.8 points per game, sat out with a knee injury, would go on to average 3.2 points per game over 2 years, and then was out of the league. So Adam Morrison has to be put on that list. How about some other ones that we remember here in the last couple of years? You know, Scotty Reynolds from Villanova. They win, what, two national championships in a three-year period, became the AP All-American, and actually becomes the first AP All-American not taken in the NBA draft since 1976, has only spent some time in the D-League, where he was an all-star. But Scotty Reynolds from Villanova, you know, very high, high ceiling when it comes to his college basketball career, did not translate. And then how about Bo Kimble? Some people may go, man, you're going a long way back to 1990. But Bo Kimble was Diesel. He was hit with some fame that was unwanted. He was the teammate and best friend of Hank Gathers from Loyola Marymount. He played for Loyola Marymount, was his teammate. And, of course, Hank Gathers was the player that died, you know, had the heart attack on the court in the conference tournament basketball game and passed away. And then, of course, Loyola Marymount under Paul Westhead goes on this incredible run to the Elite Eight. And Bo Kimble would walk out, would shoot his first free throw in every game moving forward with his left hand in honor of Hank Gathers, his fallen teammate. He would go on to average in his season, his senior season at Loyola, 35.3 points per game. Also averaged 7.7 rebounds, 2.9 steals, was named the West Coast Conference Player of the Year and a second-team All-American but only lasted three seasons in the NBA, averaging a little over 5 points a game. So, you know, Bo Kimble, again, you know, a lot of people remember him just because of all the drama. Get one on Twitter, Bryant Reeves, Big Country. You know, listen, everybody when coming out of high school, coming out of college, remembers that Oklahoma State run to the Final Four with a guy by the name of Bryant Reeves that they just nicknamed Big Country. I think he was taken number 2 overall in the NBA draft by the Vancouver Grizzlies back in the day before they moved to Memphis, and of course, wasn't in the league very long. Some other bust. You know, if you're old enough, Joe Barry Carroll, taken number 1 out of Purdue by Golden State back in 1980. How about recently, a decade ago, Hasheem Thabeet with the Memphis Grizzlies, taken number 2 overall. Yeah, he had a nice career at UConn, did not transfer over. You know, Sean Bradley, if you will, taken number 2 in 1993. You know, there's like a rule, if you're more than 7'5", you automatically get an NBA contract. And by that, I mean, go look at Manute Bol. Go look at Sean Bradley. Go look at Chuck Nevitt out of NC State. But Sean Bradley, it did not translate unless you liked him seeing being dunked on a whole lot. A couple of more, you know, Jay Williams, he was taken number 2 in the 2002 draft out of Duke University, but of course he was in a motorcycle accident, which ultimately cost his career because it severed a nerve in his leg. Robert Tractor Trailer from the University of Michigan, he was the number 6 pick for the Bucks back in the day. Good God, you remember Chris Washburn from NC State, taking number 3 overall in 1986. Just the list keeps going and going because, you know, it is the yin and the yang when all is said and done. What goes up must go down. The majority of them definitely are health related. But maybe the biggest fail, as we mentioned earlier, was Darko Milicic. He was, listen, you can blame that. He was the 7-foot European prospect that everybody was drooling over. It was going to be the next Dirk Nowitzki. And he got taken too high, and it was blasphemous and did not translate when all was said and done. I mean, think about it. Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, all taken in 2003 behind Darko Milicic. So a lot of big busts. We hope that doesn't happen, but the reality is, Diesel, guess what? Somebody's going to have that tag extended to them after where they are taken tomorrow night in the NBA draft. And, of course, you can hear that right here on ESPN Upstate. So when we come back, you know, Greg McKinney, he served many years here at ESPN Upstate as the voice of the Burns Rebels. We're going to bring you Cole Bryson. He is the new voice of the Burns Rebels after being the voice of the Bowling Springs high school football team for a few years. He now takes over with Burns, but also a lot of coverage of Zion up there in Spartanburg County. So we'll get a little idea about that because I got to say, I disagree. This is not the same can't-miss project that LeBron James was, because you're going to have to control some weight, some body size, and everything else. Yes, the upside to Zion is completely and totally there, but I don't consider him the next can't-miss project since LeBron. I think he's going to have to continue to work, and we'll talk about we'll talk about that with Cole Bryson when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.